it came to our knowledge that finance as a core value somehow is similar in terms of mindset, in terms of leadership across all the industries and business. But what I noticed in our podcast when we had a discussion about the finance and technology, and giving my background, finance and FMCG, I can see some differences where we can see finance can be more agile to serve the purpose of the business as well. And being in Dubai, and we can see all of this hospitality, as you can see everywhere, and the tourism and hospitality sector is, especially after COVID, being very popular and increasing everywhere. So we'd like to hear some glimpse about how finance function serve the purpose of the hospitality sector as well, in general. And giving that context, we're happy to have you, Robbie, in the discussion to share some light on that subject. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be on the show and share some insights on the hospitality industry here in the Middle East.
Okay. So we usually introduce the guest through the purpose. So let me go to the first question. What is your purpose in life?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I think having a life with a purpose and goal, which is then blended with a passion, would certainly be an incredible life to live, right? I think at the stage of life and career that I am at, I'm still kind of exploring my why. But having said that, I think what keeps me going and keeps me progressing is that inner force or inner voice that has a sheer quest to, you know, make an impact and make a difference wherever I go, whether in my personal life or professional life, in the society, in the organization that I work for, or just generally. I think the wider goal that I have in my life that I keep chasing is to build a legacy and to really eventually leave that legacy behind for my children. So I think I'm somewhere still at the stage of finding my why and self-awareness, but eventually I would like to leave a legacy behind for my children that they'll be proud of.
Okay. I love the concept that you're still on the journey on finding your why, which is fine for many of the people. But if I ask a different question, why do you want to leave a legacy?
I think it's just that how we are structured, right? Different human beings are different. And we all make a choice in terms of how we want to live a life, whether we'd like to live an ordinary life or we'd like to live an unordinary life by making a difference and making our small contribution in, you know, changing the world. So probably I think I see myself in the latter category. I'm personally a very anxious person. I become very bored and depressed if I have a dull and mundane and stagnant life. So I'm always looking for something that gives me that dopamine or adrenaline, for the lack of a better word. So as I said, I'm still exploring my why, but just that desire and drive to make a difference is what keeps me going.
Okay. Just one layer deeper in that before we go to the technical part. Big portion of the people, their childhood impacted their why in their journey. Do you think being an anxious person, trying to leave an impact, getting bored so quickly, it has something rooted in your childhood?
Well, growing up, I was the eldest child. And then my father was away, like, you know, all fathers are, for earning livelihood for their family. And my mother was a homemaker. So I was pretty much always, you know, leading the show. And growing up, I kind of was excelling in school as well. I was the head girl in my school. I was always a topper in school, always stood first. I was awarded the best student of the school. So always had that, you know, thing in me to be on the top of my game And probably I enjoyed that popularity growing up, to answer your question. That is then, driving me and pushing me to have more and make an impact and eventually build a legacy and leave that legacy behind.
Okay. And then how did you end up in finance?
Well, it was a coincidence, I would say. It wasn't a plan per se. Initially, I wanted to be a doctor. And then I thought that perhaps it will take me several years to finish medicine and eventually practice and become a successful surgeon. And then I did my cost benefit and time analysis of what can I achieve in a short span of time and still make an impact. And then during our time growing up, after medicine and engineering, the two popular professions were either MBA or chartered accountancy. And then CA being a relatively a more popular one became my obvious choice. And growing up again, I always had a keen interest in the commercials of the business. I always had an entrepreneur mindset. So I think it kind of was a natural transition to choose that profession. But I'd like to say that it wasn't a well thought through. Mm. But once I was in, then there was no turning back.
Okay. That's quite interesting to know the background as a foundation. Now, when I spent through all your career, I'm not going to say all of it, but big part of it related balance between the qualifications, the aspiration for finance as a profession on a global manner, and at the same time, the hospitality sector. I can see the love for the hospitality sector as an industry and a huge industry globally everywhere, as you can see. If we can start just define how the finance as a role in the hospitality industry differ from any other sectors in your point of view.
Yeah, sure. So as you alluded to, you know, in the beginning of the discussion, I think this is really a myth that finance changes from one industry to the other, and more so, you know, in the Middle Eastern region. So the essential or fundamental principles of finance remain the same, whether it's your financial management, budgeting, forecasting, financial accounting and reporting, risk management, it really essentially remains the same. Now, what in my view really changes from one industry to the other is the peculiar nature of the operations of the business, or the commercials around of the business. So if you have that understanding of the business on top of the functional expertise of knowing finance, then that sector expertise married with the functional expertise makes you a very, very valuable and resourceful person to then, you know, partner with the business and create value and add value to the business. So I think if you're really a smart professional, with a little bit of learning curve, you can quickly get up to the speed when you enter a specific industry. Now, coming back to your question of how it really changes in the hospitality industry. First of all, let me just explain what is really hospitality industry. So hospitality industry, as opposed to the traditional, you know, understanding that it's all about hotels, it's not only about hotels, it's a much wider industry. Sure, hotels is one of the biggest part of the hospitality industry, but hospitality industry also includes restaurants, the food and beverage sector, your travel and tourism sector, recreation, branded residences, transportation, cruise liners, your meeting and event business, what is called the MICE business. So all of that comes under the wide umbrella of hospitality
that's
industry.
Everything.
Yeah, that's true though. But if I narrow it down for the sake of, you know, this discussion, we need to really, from the perspective of finance, see where does a particular finance role sit. So if you talk about hotels, there are various different operating models by which a hotel business is run. So again, going a further step down, first of all, let's try and understand how hotel business is run. So within a hotel, one of the most popular operating models is that there is an owner who then engages an international operator to the likes of a Marriott and Hilton, and let's say enter into a management agreement or a managed hotel relationship where the role of the two is that the owner invests in the development of the property, continues to own the hotel, where the operator, on the other hand, has a sole responsibility of operating that hotel. Now, if you're a finance person who is sitting somewhere in the owner's office, but still within that hospitality industry, your role is totally different. So as an owner, you would be an asset-heavy company where you invest in the hotel assets. So you'll be capex-heavy, and you wouldn't have much of the operation side of the business. But as opposed to that, if you're sitting in an operator office or if you're sitting in the actual hotel where the business is being run, then your role would be very operations heavy and asset light. So depending on where you're sitting, your role kind of changes. So if you are in an owner's office and you're responsible for managing the capex, then your financial management would be essentially around, capital accounting, capex management, ensuring all your hotel assets are feasible, they generate a desired rate of return, it has a healthy IRR, etc. But if you are sitting in a hotel where the actual business is being run, you'll be all operations focused, right? You'll be managing day-to-day operations of the hotel. So it will be very operation-heavy, operation-focused financial management. First of all, making sure that, the revenues are coming in, revenues are maximized, revenues are optimized, and then you optimize the costs according to it so as to ensure your profits are optimized. And hospitality, as you know, is a very seasonal business, so just making sure that the business or the hotel in general remains profitable throughout the year. So you have to really stay on the top of your forecasts to essentially manage your costs and profitability throughout the year. So I think these are the small bits and pieces that differ in hospitality industry. But as I say, I'm a firm believer that finance as a profession is sector agnostic. It doesn't fundamentally change from one business to the other, unless you are obviously in a very, very complex and specialized business to the likes of banking or insurance. But if you are moving from one industry to the other, you're a strong functional expert with a little bit of a learning curve, you can get easily up to speed.
Okay. But that's a good point. I don't think many of our audience understand that there is two seats in the hospitality sector, and zooming in into hotel industry to be specific, given that you shared the entire hospitality sector, the owner office and the hotel office, if I may say. And I see the difference that one is mainly focused on the capex and the other one is mainly focusing on the opex, the operational expense that we have there. Do you think these two different seats, the one sitting in the hotel is mainly concerned about the cash flow because they're running the operation in that sense, and the owner office is only related to the capex and the return on investment and capital investment as in general, where the cash flow impact both, if you share some light on that?
Where the cash flow impacts?
Yes, where you see the cash is more critical in of these two seats, or it's for both?
I think cash flow is equally critical in both. So when you sit in the owner's office, so you have to make sure you have the right funding available to fund the hotel assets, whether it's equity funding or debt funding. So for sure, cash is important there. On the operation side as well, you have to have enough cash, right, to run the operations. But on the operation side, one advantage that you have is that you have owners sitting on top of you. So in case you're in a crisis, you always have someone to go to request for additional working capital. We have all seen during the times of pandemic what happened. But on the owner side, if you don't have it, then it's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you have to seek private funding, go to external investors, go to bank, okay, go for refinancing.
Now, every industry, they have their own seasonality. I know you share some light on that, but let's deep dive a little bit on that. Let's assume the hotel industry is, again, in where we live here as we speak. The seasonality is like big swing between the seasons in that sense. And the financial forecast need to be exactly clear on the seasonality impact on the financials to prepare all the other statements and to be agile, serving the business in that sense. Do you think the hospitality industry, they have the most seasonality sector compared to other sectors? And the finance team working in that industry, they are fully equipped to deal with that swing in terms of seasonality?
Yeah, sure. So hospitality industry is certainly a very, very seasonal in nature. And again, if we talk about hotels, for example, so the seasonality is divided in three buckets. We have the peak season or the high season, then we have shoulder season, and then we have the low season. So if you talk about Middle East, usually your quarter one and quarter four, they are considered as high season or peak season. Mm. And then Q2 and Q3, due to the weather or summers, oscillate between shoulder to low season. Mm. Now, one thing really interesting about a hotel business is it's a B2C business, right? It's very operations focused. It is very much dependent on the guests and the visitors. So if you look at the cost structure of the hotel business, since it's a service industry, right, it's related to serving people, there isn't very much a variable portion in the cost. So most of the cost base that you have within the P&L of a hotel is either fixed cost or at the max, I would say semi-variable. The variable portion is very, very small. To give you an example, again, we are in the people business. We serve the guests. So one of the biggest costs is your payroll costs, your staffing cost. Then you have the maintenance cost to maintain the property, to keep the property in a good condition. Then you have the energy cost, utility cost. All of these costs do not really change materially. Let's say the guests stop coming in the hotel, or if it's a low season, or it's a pandemic, right? So all of these costs will stay there. So essentially, a significant portion of the cost structure is fixed. So there isn't so much that you can do when the business moves from a high season in quarter one to suddenly, you know, a shoulder to low season Q2 and Q3. So as a finance person, you really need to be on the top of your forecast game, where you keep, you know, forecasting and reforecasting business in order to make sure that the profits are flowing through. Having said that, it is kind of acceptable within the industry that profitability levels, you know, are low during the shoulder and low season. You can't really, you know, restructure your cost just for a short period of time. Mm. But what we then do to manage the cash flows and the profitability is that, for example, in the quarter one, if there's any turnover, we don't replace those positions. We defer those positions, or we keep a healthy balance between permanent labor and outsourced labor, so that in low season, you know, that's something that can be flexible, and therefore we can have some cost savings. Other than that, pretty much on the cost side, there isn't much you can do. What we also focus on during the shoulder low season is to look at diversifying revenues and looking at alternative revenue streams. So for example, during Ramadan, right, so the iftar and suhoor, that's a big revenue driver. So we always look at additional ways of revenue and then try to optimize the cost according to the revenues. But having said that, there's so much that can be done, and usually the profitability levels are low during the shoulder and low season, which is then obviously compensated by high profitability levels during Q1 and Q4 in order to ensure that during the year, the hotel asset in general produces a healthy profit margin.
Before we move to the next question, does finance play a role in cost optimization, given the low season? Have you ever witnessed finance come up with some suggestion for the business to optimize more cost during the low season? and come up with some value creation ideas related to a new revenue streams during low season as well?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I would say that in all the properties that I worked for, usually we would meet on a weekly basis on the pricing of the business. So we would have a healthy debate on the pricing strategies, the distribution strategy, what the business mix of the hotel looks like, how we can maximize revenue from the customer segment that will give us more profit. So to give you an example, many hotels use booking.com, right? So if you look at just top line alone, and if booking.com is giving you a higher yield, in isolation that might look like that you're generating good revenues, but if you look at the holistic picture, on top of that you pay heavy travel agency commissions, right? So your net return or net profit on that particular piece of business is not the same as you would generate from another customer segment where you don't have any incremental costs. So these are the kind of conversation and debates we would have in the forecast meetings, in the pricing meetings, where, you know, the finance director or the finance person will add value on, because the finance person has, you know, visibility on the full P&L. In addition to that, in the monthly forecast meetings, we would review the full P&L. And if the profitability is not looking good, we would review the business and assess where the opportunities are in terms of optimizing the cost to generate desired profit margins.
I'm sure you're following the technology trends that we have now, which is disruptive everywhere. And one of the sectors that eventually is impacted as we speak now is finance as well. How do you describe the technology impact on the finance in the hospitality industry in particular? For example, you can see the hospitality, or the, let me zoom in on the hotel industry in particular. The technology is evolving everywhere. Now we have a technology for check-in. You have some reward systems. You have application of the mobile where you collect the data. So technology is in hospitality is getting evolved every single day. How finance in the hospitality industry is coping to the technology changes as we speak now?
Well, technology is continuously evolving the industry and will continue to evolve. Hospitality industry is one of the industries which sits at the core of innovation. So technology will always remain a very, very critical, you know, building block towards shaping the future of hospitality industry. Now, let me give you a bit of a flavor of the technology infrastructure that we have in the hospitality industry. There are massive amount of technology that we use in front of the house, or let's say in the customer facing departments, like your front desk. So one of the biggest or critical system that we use within the hospitality industry is called PMS, or the property management system, which manages, you know, the room inventory and the check-in, check-out, et cetera, the housekeeping of the room, et cetera. And that is then integrated with all the back of the house systems, including the accounting systems, your procurement systems. So a well-integrated technology infrastructure within the hotel is right now the focus for many hotels, because previously these systems were always there, but they were running in isolation and there was no real-time, you know, data flowing from one system to the other. But now a lot of technological solutions have come in which are integrating these siloed tech tools. We also have cloud-based solutions emerging, mobile apps emerging, which then allow you to have real-time data insights, which then becomes at the disposal of the finance function, right, to slice and dice and do the number crunching, analyze the business, and then provide meaningful financial insights to the rest of the team. In addition to that, from a finance point of view, I mean, you know, data and AI and business intelligence tools continues to be an interesting area to explore. So a lot of the companies are now looking at performance management solutions where you can do predictive analytics, you can automate your financial planning, your forecasting and budgeting. So I would say from a finance perspective, finance has, from a tech point of view, has always historically taken kind of a backseat, right? Companies traditionally have always been investing on operational or customer-facing systems, and finance or back-of-the-house systems always takes a backseat. But now things are changing, and a lot of the companies, especially the new ones, they are investing in tech tools for back-of-the-house systems as well, which will then enable finance to exploit those numbers and produce meaningful and financial insights that then helps the business make the right decisions at the right time.
Yeah. This is the first time to get the concept of back the house in front of the house. I think this is exclusively used for the hotel industry, right?
Yeah, you could say that. Front of the house essentially means all those departments which face the customer, like your front desk, your restaurants, your concierge, your operations, and back of the house is everything which is the back office, which doesn't face the customer, all your support functions like finance, HR, IT, housekeeping, who are working behind the scenes to serve the guests and the customers.
Yeah, and do you think in the hotel industry now, given your experience for different companies across all the globe, that do we have an integrated system when it comes to BMS is feeding in the property management system, feeding in some data for the financial forecasting tool where we can get trends and some input for the forecast. Do you see an integration when it comes to automated in the forecast in the hotel industry, or we're not there yet in general?
I think we are getting there. Historically, most of the hotels, you know, they have been around for like 10 years and 15 years and 20 years, and all those legacy systems we have been continuing with. But with all the new hotels coming in and being set up from scratch, when we implement the systems for the first time, we evaluate and assess that we put in the right system in place. So we make sure that, you know, all the systems talk to each other, they're well integrated. And if you are a smaller business, they are already readily available off-the-shelf cloud-based solutions, which are more like a one-stop shop, where you find everything from property management system all the way down to accounting and reporting, which then helps you to, you know, get real-time data insights to perform your analysis. But I think this is an area which is continuously evolving, and in the coming years we will have more robust technological systems that will be speaking to each other and will be able to provide real-time meaningful data insights.
Okay. Now, business is evolving around innovations. So when you speak about innovations in the car industry, you can see the electric car, the self-driver car. When you speak about the innovation when it comes to, for example, the FMCG industry, when you see the new product with a new formula, with a certain changes in the product itself. Now, how do you describe innovation in the, to be specific, hotel industry as an innovation?
Again, as I was alluding to earlier, hospitality industry is one of the industries that sits at the core of innovation. So innovation in all the futuristic hotel projects that I've had the privilege to work on, the innovation comes in every single component of the value chain. First of all, the innovation comes in the design of the room. I also work with some of the Saudi Giga projects where we are working on, you know, futuristic hotel projects. So we are really looking at design of the hotel in a way that has never been done, from a fixed or a static room design to a dynamic hotel room. For example, if you arrive in a city at the middle of the night and you're ready to sleep, you will have your room on your mobile app, and you can rearrange the furniture on the app and make your room ready in a certain way. Or if you're walking into a hotel in the middle of the day and you're not ready to sleep, you can design it in a way that you don't have to have a bed, it converts into a lounge. So there are a lot of opportunities where, you know, innovation continues to be an area of focus. Other than that, sustainability is also one of the biggest areas that the hospitality industry is continuously focusing on. So we are innovating also in the ways of, you know, how we can run the business in the most sustainable way by reducing the carbon, you know, footprint. So looking at eco-friendly solutions, looking at renewable sources of energy, etc. So innovation is something that will always be one of the fundamentals, you know, in shaping the future of the industry. Other than that, I think some other areas that I've also seen is how we can use technology to personalize customer experiences, how data and AI can be manipulated to provide insights on the personal preferences of a consumer. So that area also continues to remain something that we are continuously exploring, how we can personalize a consumer experience and really offer each and every guest when they return to the hotel what they like and what they prefer without even asking them.
Let me ask you a disruptive question. Do you think AI will replace the reception in most of the hotels that we know now, as you speak now, in the future?
Well, I think in my personal view, technology and automation will certainly reduce the need for manpower, and not even technology and AI, even robotics, right? In the future, we will have humans being replaced by robots, so that will also reduce that. But in the end, I think hospitality industry, the soul of the hospitality industry is all about human centricity. So I would say that the hospitality industry will always have to strike a balance between technology and humanness and human centricity. So I don't think it will completely eliminate, especially the front of the house, right? But yeah, in the back of the house, technology and AI and robotics could potentially overtake and replace the need of having human manpower. But in the end, hospitality is all about people, about serving the guests. So in the front of the house, it will be all about striking the right balance.
Do you think the hospitality industry vary from one region to another? I think you serve it in multiple regions across Middle East, Southeast Asia as well, if I remember correctly, giving your hospitality experience in the EMEA region. Do you see any... Now, we're zooming in into hospitality, the variance region, as you can see. Any business differences, or it is, again, at the core of serving the consumer, we have the same process, same business model everywhere?
Yeah, I think the nature of the business and the business model is pretty much the same. It doesn't change significantly from one region to the other. But what does change from one region to the other is mainly your regulatory and and let's say if we compare Middle East with Asia, so Middle East is relatively on its journey of transforming the regulatory and tax landscape, as opposed to Asia, which is a relatively much bigger and mature market. So I think from a financial perspective, these are some of the big differences. But in terms of the core hotel business or hospitality industry, I haven't really seen much differences. In terms of the business model as well, the most popular models within the hospitality industry is is managing a hotel under a managed agreement or a franchise agreement or a license agreement, or operating it under its own brands. So that pretty much stays the same from one region to the other. Sometimes the mix kind of changes. So for example, in Middle East, you have more managed hotels managed by international operator. You have less franchise hotels, although the trend seems to be changing after the pandemic, as owners have more pressure on ensuring the profitability level. So franchise hotel is relatively a cheaper option than having an international operator. If you go to the US region, you'll find more franchise chains as opposed to managed chains. So I think that mix changes, but the fundamentals of the business are more or less the same from one region to the other.
Yeah. And maybe the seasonality as well. It varies from one region to another, given the weather and the traffic of the consumer or the customer at that time. We can't end this episode without speaking about the diversity and having a female leader in the finance industry. This is one, and in the hospitality as well. If you're gonna inspire a fresh graduate female in finance major as we speak now, what advice will you give her to conquer her career to reach the same level that you reached as we speak now?
I think the main thing that would give you always a confidence and courage to keep going and make a difference is self-belief. I think many a times we suffer from imposter syndrome, self-doubt, which inhibits us to be at our best. So I think first of all, the most important thing I would say is self-belief. Believing in yourself, believing in your ability, and then surrounding yourself with the right people, having the right support system. Now, in my personal view, I think it is a challenge for most women to balance it all. You make choices all the time. You make trade-offs all the time. Sometimes you trade off your career for family. Sometimes you trade off your family for career. And sometimes you probably trade off your personal health and well-being, right? So it's very, very important that you have the right support system, both at work and at your home as well, in your family. If you have that, I think there's no stopping for any women. You can really have it all. But right now, I think we don't have that ecosystem where both men and women, can thrive in an ideal way. So there's a tremendous responsibility and onus on the part of the society, the government, the corporate world, to create that environment and ecosystem where women get a equal opportunity. But if you get the right support system, you get to work with the right bosses, the right employee with flexible working policies, you have the right domestic support system, I think there's absolutely no stopping for women, especially if you believe in yourself and in your ability. One thing I'd also like to add is that I think many a times, women who are handling multiple things at a time or are juggling between multiple competing priorities, career, family, any other volunteer thing that they might be doing, they are labeled as a superwoman. And I personally feel that the word superwoman is absolutely a myth. There's no such thing like a superwoman. We all humans, we have the same number of hours in a day. We don't get 48-hour days, the same 24 hours that get divided into, multiple priorities. So I think superwoman is really a fancy word, which the society uses, or rather hides behind, put a pressure on women to balance it all. But yeah, as I said, if you have the right support system, you can manage it all. But I'd like to admit, it is a challenge. It's not easy. You make choices all the time. Your career clock, your biological clock, your family clock, all of that is like in total conflict with each other. So depending on everybody's personal situation, you always have to make tough choices, which probably stops you from progressing. But I think coming back to my point that I'm repeating myself is, if you have the self-belief, if you have the courage, the confidence, and then you're supported by the right people at home, at your workplace, is absolutely no stopping for any women.
Okay. Robbie, I think that's... I feel the sense and the touch of the hospitality in the podcast, as you can see, the elegance on the discussion. Maybe speaking about the hotels, it make me very curious to go for a vacation as we speak now. So, but I think that's a beautiful glimpse about how the finance and how the hotel industry, in particular in the hospitality, operates. And as you can see in the studio, you're in the front of the house as you speak now. No one in the back end of the house, as you can see now. But that was an amazing 360 view on the evolving situation of the hospitality industry and the finance in particular, how finance operates in this industry. So time flies with youth, and thank you very much for this discussion, and I'm looking forward to the next one as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation, and I think it was a pleasure speaking to you and sharing some of my thoughts on the industry. I hope you found it helpful.
It is. Thank you very much.